Hi, I'm Wade Ierley, and this is Rebuilding the American Dream. In this podcast, we introduce you to thought leaders who are shaping the lives of the next generation to discuss the challenges and innovations influencing higher education and how we can adapt to give students a strong foundation for their future. Today, we're talking to Dr. Stanton McNeely III, the 19th president of the University of Holy Cross in Louisiana, elected in July 2019. During his 10 years president, Dr. McNeely has led the university to great success, including increased enrollments while navigating the dual challenges of the global COVID pandemic and Cat 4 Hurricane Ida in 2021, which hit Southeast Louisiana in August. Dr. Stanton is involved in many charitable and development organizations and making statewide impacts through initiatives such as opening the university's mental health counseling hotlines free to the entire state during the COVID crisis. He's also launched an award-winning TV show in partnership with WLAE PBS called Coping During the COVID Crisis. Dedicated to higher education in Louisiana, Dr. McNeely has served at a number of community colleges in the state and president and CEO of Louisiana Association of Independent Colleges and Universities. He's a graduate of UHC's business school and worked at the university in a number of leadership roles, including director of student enrollment, vice president for institutional planning and advancement, vice president for external affairs and institutional effectiveness. The UHC board of trustees recently unanimously voted to extend his contract through 2027. Thanks for being with us today, Dr. McNeely.
Thank you, Wade. It's great to be with you.
We just shared a little bit about your background and your deep connection to Holy Cross and Louisiana. Can you tell us more about your story and how Holy Cross impacted you?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. And, you know, it's really a journey that many of our students experience. I'm a native New Orleanian. So through that experience, as people in our community do, they tend to stay in New Orleans. New Orleanians are proud of our culture and our community. And so we've got fun things like Mardi Gras and Jazz Fests and great food and music and all that good stuff. And also, too, a need for education like we see across the country and higher education in particular. I'm a first generation college grad. My family worked on the river, the Mississippi River, for many, many years. But one of my family members became a Maronite of Holy Cross. That's the order of nuns, sisters, founded 106 years ago and sponsored to this day, the University of Holy Cross. So that introduced me to education as a nephew of that Maronite nun. I would occasionally visit campus, meet the sisters, also see the students and see the teachers and faculty and staff over the years. And I saw the growth of this place and its wonderful shining light mission to welcome students and serve a good purpose in our community in greater New Orleans. And I wanted to be part of that. I decided to go that route and just work my way up. I had progressive positions here at the university in the 1990s in admissions and advancement in 2000s. Was here through Hurricane Katrina in 2005. I was the on-site administrator, and it was great to see our university being a center for emergency operations to help the community in greater New Orleans at a pivotal time, in addition to what we do in education. And then I did go to serve at community colleges. It was important to get experience in other places. I went to two community colleges, 4 years, 8 years total, and then went to the Louisiana Association of Private Colleges and Universities and served as president there. And that service brought me to the entire not-for-profit private sector of higher education in our state. And then, of course, the University of Holy Cross is a member. And when the previous president announced his retirement, I put my hat in the ring and glad to have done so. As you mentioned, I started in mid-2019 in this role, and have been there since that time. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve another 5 years. That's fantastic. It's been, as it has been for everyone, a dynamic experience in the past few years. And I'm just hopeful and prayerful that we'll see some calmness in our world so we can move forward with the good work that we do in education.
As we talk to presidents and administrators around the country, everyone's had to deal with the COVID challenge. You had the twin challenges of COVID and Hurricane Ida. As a leader, how do you lead faculty and students and the entire institution? How do you think about leading them through such challenging times? What's the message that they hear from you? What's your approach to that?
Well, and the essential thing on that, Wade, is connectedness. In a small university community, to be connected with our students and connected with each other and connected in ways that we express the care for the person, right? Whether that person is a student, a faculty member, a staff member. Of course, COVID introduced us to digital resources and access for connectedness. In a small university community before COVID, we of course, did it person to person, in person, right? Then we had lockdown that separated us all. And as a university community like Holy Cross, that was a real challenge because we're so accustomed to building relationships in person. When we experienced a year ago the Delta surge of COVID and Hurricane Ida that displaced us, it was actually the technology that we utilized during COVID that helped us remain connected through evacuation of the hurricane. So we had the Delta surge happening, but still trying to get classes going like everybody else last August. And then a week later, we had to evacuate. And we were closed until September 21st. And through that time, the essential of leadership is, of course, you've got crisis management and crisis communication and all of that. But also to relay to our key faculty and staff to connect with our students who've been evacuated, have family members of themselves sick with COVID, all of these disruptors, so that they know the university does care about them, of course, for their education, but also as a person, and that we want to see them not only survive the tense moments of the pandemic or the hurricane or both in this case, but also be able to move forward and enjoy life and have a fulfilling life in connectedness with the University of Holy Cross. And so the key is not to disappear from their screens or from their phones or from their various engagement media during pivotal moments in time when we can't be physically together. And I think that helped us when we came out of the hurricane, still dealing with COVID, Delta and Omicron later, to help us move forward for the university. It showed the power of connecting with our students and having substantive relationships with them so they can continue with the university.
Are there technologies that you found useful or critical in maintaining those connections? Are there solutions that you were able to use well?
Well, I would say it's fundamentals, right? It's of course, Zoom and Microsoft Teams and so forth, but also texting. That was something that, I mean, here in 2022, we know texting is an effective means for student engagement because they're familiar with it. But going back to my Katrina experience, a lot of New Orleanians, residents of South Louisiana, learned about texting from Hurricane Katrina. So now we're all in leadership roles. And so when we look at that 17 years later, the emergency situation of a hurricane means that we have to have, the fundamental is not the tactic of texting or even of Zoom or Teams. It's multifaceted and continuous engagement through multimedia. The audio telephone call, we know that that's important, even if the student doesn't answer, to leave a message, because they'll check the voice message perhaps even before they answer the phone these days, just because of the nature of the population. So that's okay, but to do the outreach is essential.
We chatted previously and you mentioned TOPS, T-O-P-S. Can you tell us more about how TOPS is working to increase access in higher education?
The Louisiana TOPS program, it stands for Tailor Opportunity Program for Students, is an incentive program that was established by the state in the 1990s for students in both public and private higher education in Louisiana. And I know there are similar programs across the country in many states. And this is to help retain students in the state rather than have out-migration of students pursuing higher education. And to your point, Wade, and in your question, it's also to provide access to the universities that are perhaps the better fit for the student, where they don't feel like they have to attend XYZ University, where this is a financial resource to give them a path of choice that actually is linked much more to their success. Graduation, of course, being the ultimate goal. And what the University of Holy Cross has done, what we decided to do last year, is to further provide access by taking the amount, of course, that the student receives as part of that statewide program, but then matching it from us too. So doubling it. And what that does, since we're the lowest cost private university in Louisiana, lowest tuition, is that it basically covers at least 80% of a student's tuition starting for freshmen this semester in fall of 22, all the way through their baccalaureate degree.
Wow, that's incredible. In your inaugural address, you mentioned the need for expanding partnerships, engagements with external stakeholders to jointly meet the needs of the student and the Gen Z population, et cetera. And this is obviously one of those types of partnerships where you're working with the state to do that. How have other partnerships impacted UHC students, your community, and are there partnerships you're looking forward to or that you're excited about today that you want to talk about?
Partnerships are becoming much more involved in higher education, I think, across the United States with key industry sectors. We always hear about the Ivy Tower of American higher education, right? And so back to our mission, it's rooted in those Maronite sisters to meet the needs of our ever-changing world and provide pathways of opportunity for students in that world. And I think linked to that is where they go after graduation or even through their educational experience with us. We were founded to meet the need for teachers in our K-12 schools. That evolved to the needs for mental health professionals and counselors, as well as healthcare, nursing, allied health, all of that. And up to this point, relationships, not atypical at all, have been clinical placements for our nursing students, for example, that sort of thing. Partnerships are becoming much more intricate now between academic institutions, institutions of higher education that have healthcare related programs, and investments from the healthcare sector into our institutions with deliverables associated with them. So number of graduates, how many are going to work at our hospitals, not just nursing, health professions, pre-med, everything. And so what was once a partnership that, you know, institutions, healthcare, hospital systems, and schools, educational institutions like ours thought clinical placements were enough, that's no longer enough. It has to be a linked and symbiotic relationship where the hospital system is not just looking to meet their immediate needs, where say they have a shortage of nurses now, but they're also looking at the next 10 years, 20 years, and their business plans and focus areas. And right now, so many of them are importing contract labor from countries like the Philippines and so forth in our area, that they want to look at our talent locally too, but in a way that increases our capacity to deliver to them a good, stable, reliable, quality workforce.
There is, as we've seen, a declining interest in college enrollment nationally. There's about a 0.5% downward slope in the number of students. We all know there's a demographic cliff coming, you know, 18-year lag on the Great Recession, right, coming in 2026. We saw a recent study just this last week by JFF Jobs for the Future, and 53% of the high schoolers they polled listed themselves as unlikely to attend college. How does UHC shift that trend? Can we focus on the ROI of the degree? What is the lifeline that a college provides that we can help turn around this sort of false narrative of we don't need to go to college, right?
Yeah, I agree with what you shared there, Wade, about the ROI of the degree. That definitely has to be a major point of emphasis. Outcomes focused. Now, in the short term, because that's their attention span, and often they're influencers, parents and others, attention span is, what am I making when I graduate? And we have to use that as a leverage point to educate them on the earnings throughout their lifespan because they have a degree and the associated benefits of that, and the opportunity cost if they don't really achieve that degree. ROI is essential. As much as I love to talk about in true formation, heart and mind, critical thinking skills, all of that, you know, that is embedded in what we do. But from their practical decision-making matrix, to your point about the value of college, it has to be very quantitative, very ROI focused for them to even express a broader mindset to think about us again, or not to be closed off from us. And that's essential for all of higher education in the United States. NASA used to have a phrase, cheaper, faster, better. And I think that's also linked to this conversation, is that we have to show, yes, the ROI and the outcomes and all of that, but also we have to show the efficient progression of the student to that outcome, respecting that what we do in American higher education is based upon the 1600s in Massachusetts and the farm. And, you know, we have the fall semester and the spring semester based upon an agrarian economy. We're in a knowledge-intensive economy in the 21st century. And so we've been doing it this way too long, and it's for the university's convenience, not for the student's convenience. So we have to flip that. And that's going to be a big flip.
We titled this podcast, Rebuilding the American Dream. And higher education has long been that piece of the American dream where you could come here, work hard, get an education, and you had the best chance of doing better here than you would have done if you hadn't. What does the American dream mean to you? How do you think that's changed over time, right? What is the American dream today? What's that message you give to those students that are coming in?
I think your questions from before very much linked to this. My appreciation of American dream is that an American citizen, whether it's a young person or a person returning to change professions or opportunities, has access to a better life. And as long as they fulfill their responsibility linked to that access, to those opportunities put before them, they will succeed. What I think is also linked to your questions, though, is that we have a cultural dynamic right now that students, A, and their families don't think they have access, and or B, they think that it's not the best path for them anymore. And that's very concerning for our society. I believe that progressively, opportunities and upward mobility for citizens in the United States is directly linked through higher education, especially since World War II and the GI Bill. And wider access means more economic mobility, upward mobility for our citizenry, as well as people who come to our country. I think that narrative is in a precarious place right now. And if we see folks choosing to not pursue higher education, all the benefits and ROI in various ways that we see out of that, then we start to look like a society that becomes bipolar, you know, and that's not good for the American Republic either.
So what advice would you give new students contemplating college in their future? What's the advice you give them?
If I was talking with a freshman or a sophomore, even in high school right now, I would say, explore, learn, discover about all the opportunities that meet your interest. Be open to every possible thing you can learn about college, because this is the path to success for you and whatever success means. And use this time as a freshman in high school, even a sophomore, to go visit colleges and universities, to check out their campuses, to learn about how their alumni do. You know, when someone graduates, what do they end up doing? How do they end up? Talk to them, talk to alums, ask the college universities, not just to send information or, you know, check out their website, but have a dialogue with you and see who is the best fit for you as a student. But I would also offer to that student, to that freshman or sophomore in high school, that the opportunity before them as a young person and the success that they'll realize growing into adulthood and beyond is directly tied to higher education. And that means they'll be successful if they go and do their work to choose a college university that's the best fit for them and find a pathway that yields successful outcomes for them.
Dr. McNeely, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much, Wade.
You've been listening to me, Wade Ireland, at Degree Insurance, and this is Rebuilding the American Dream. Find out more on our website, americandream.fm, or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn at Degree Insurance. Until next time, goodbye.